podcast owned solely by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Welcome to the show, Tina.
Hi, nice to be here.
How are you doing, Tina?
I'm doing good. I just got back from a writer's retreat where I got tons of writing done, and it just feels so good to, since I've been struggling for a while, it just felt so good to get that. I got over 10,000 words written, so I was like, oh, I think I'm back.
that's wonderful. What are you working on?
I am working on The Balcony Girl. It is a sort of a continuing story from a short story that I had in Wild Deadwood Tales book. It's set in Deadwood, South Dakota in 1879. And I got the idea when I was at Wild Deadwood Reads. I misread a sign in Keystone, and I thought the sign said Balcony Girl, and it said Balcony Grill. And when I read it wrong, all of a sudden it was like, oh, I got a story. so that's what I'm working on. So I have a deadline as of May 1st. So that's only a month away. So kind of have to get my rear in gear and get it done and edited and all that good stuff. So
it's amazing where your ideas come from. I mean, just seeing a sign and reading it wrong, and you get an idea for a book, and even the title for the book. You know, I know at one time you said that was a working title. Have you decided that is what the title is going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm keeping the title, and it kind of these two sisters go out to Deadwood. Her younger sister is hired as a teacher in Deadwood, and she goes out with her, and she's Julia, the older sister, is a seamstress, and she is trying to get jobs, and one of the madams in a brothel wants to hire her, but, you know, that's not really a good job for a, what do they call them? My mind just went blank. A lady, you know, so the story involves, you know, how she's going to work, you know, with these ladies of the evening and getting into trouble. And there was a fire in September of 1879 in Deadwood that pretty much destroyed the downtown. So that's going to be part of the story. And since I'm a pantser, which means I don't have an outline. I have an idea for the story. And I just let it go as it goes, and I'm not really exactly sure how it's going to end yet, but it will end. So, but of course, there's a love interest in the story, and then I have to try to tie up her sister, who was in the short story, the schoolmarm, in Wild Deadwood Read. So I have to try to either that or do another book with her, you know, full book with her sister in it. So I haven't quite decided yet, but I've done a lot of research about Deadwood, and I've been there several times. I'm going to back again this June. That's why I'm trying to get the book done so I have it with me to sell in June. That's why I have a deadline of May 1st. So, it's been fun to write. So, and I'm going to another retreat this weekend with another group of ladies. So, hopefully, I can be as productive as I was this weekend.
You've been really, really busy the last few weeks, and I know you've got Deadwood coming up, but I wanted to talk a little bit about one of your books, Love with the Side of Crazy. That was a wonderful book, by the way. I really, really enjoyed it. And it won, it won several awards, but it did win a 2018 Romance of the Year for Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. And that is not really a continuation, but it has characters from, correct me if I'm wrong, a photograph.
Yeah, it's a photograph of love. Yep.
And are you going to write another book along those lines?
Yes, this is the first book, A Photograph of Love, is the oldest brother in a family of four. And he's had to raise his siblings when his parents passed away, and they were still teenagers, and he had pretty much give up his dream of becoming a photographer and going to college and traveling the world and being a photojournalist. And so he's been turned into a sourpuss, to put it mildly. And so along comes Trudy Seleukas, who is a photographer for a hobby, okay? And the Photograph of Love is about their story. And then Love at the Sight of Crazy is actually the youngest sibling. And I'm not sure why I skipped the middle two, but there are plans for, I mean, I have an idea in mind now for the second brother, Cooper, and nothing has come to me yet about the second sister, but there will be two more books in this. And you're right, they're not really a series, but it has the same characters in them. So you learn about the other characters in both books. So,
yeah,
and I had
I really enjoyed that too. And yeah, he was a little bit of a sourpuss there in the beginning, but I guess he had his reasons why he was. And before we get off of the subject and talking about Love at the Sight of Crazy, as a special treat this week, I know that you have told me, and I have heard through the grapevine, that you're going to have it on sale for 99 cents for this week only. So anyone who hasn't read this yet, now is a chance to go out and grab it and read it, and it's only 99 cents. So.
Well, and I was part of this retreat. We were at a winery and we did some readings, and I read portions of both these books, and I wrote the opening. I read the opening chapter in Love with a Sight of Crazy, and it was kind of fun because, you know, people were laughing when they should have laughed, and that's always enjoyable. You know, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "Oh, I got to get the one where the guy is an accountant by day and a stripper by night." And and then in the Photograph of Love, I read the scene in the truck. And again, I had people laughing. So I was like, "Oh, okay, good. They're laughing when they're supposed to." So that was kind of fun. It's always kind of nerve wracking to read your stuff out loud. Kind of scary, but the book is up for 90. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I've actually read it a couple times, and it's got some hysterically funny parts, but then it's got some little scary parts too, especially when, you know, these strange things start appearing that shouldn't have been there. And I don't want to give away any spoilers to anyone who hadn't read it, but it's funny, and it's got its intense scenes too. And it was a very enjoyable read.
Thank you. And I did something, you know, in this book that I'd never done before, where, you know, at the end of each chapter, I kind of ramp things up, the last part of it. It just, you know, kind of ramp things up a little bit, make it a little bit more scary. And I'd never done anything like that before. So that was kind of fun. It was like, okay, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but I'll try it. That one. And then when I, you know, won Romance of the Year, it was just like, wow, that was, there were a few tears shed on that one. So that was pretty exciting.
Well, in my opinion, it was well-deserved, and it is a good book, so everyone go out and grab it. And let's get an important question. How's spring treating you guys up in the cold tundra that is Wisconsin?
Well,
we had
some days in the upper, I think maybe one day in the upper 50s, and now we're, the high today is 35. It's not snowing though, is gone. Yeah. I mean, we still have, you know, piles of snow, but it's slowly disappearing. And surprisingly, my tulips and daffodils are coming up. I can't figure out because the ground is still frozen, but I guess they just wanted to, you know, make sure that there was still life under, you know, outside the snow, above the snow. So, yeah, it was.
And
I'm sorry.
And all the time, all the while I'm sitting here with two fans and a ceiling fan on, and I already have tomatoes growing on my tomato plant. So,
oh my gosh.
I couldn't imagine.
Send some of it this way.
You enjoy getting out camping and gardening, and actually you're quite a very good photographer in your own right. And
I know
you'll be glad when the weather gets warm and you can get back out and do all that stuff that you love.
Yeah, and one of the things I love to do is sit out on the deck and write, or I will drive to a local campground or a park and sit and write. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. I almost did it the one day that it hit 59. I'm like, it wasn't sunny. You know, I'm like, it still might be a little chilly. So I haven't had a chance to see the weather for this coming week, if it's going to warm up, which I hope it does. I'm just really looking forward to getting outside again. And it was a long winter. So, we're looking at spring.
I'm sure you're ready for it. We're going from a little cool weather to right straight into summer, it feels like. But and as you enjoy spending time with your grandchildren, and you've actually had some book projects with your grandchildren. You've written, three children's books now, and the Uncle Bill Storm series of books. And you had some family help there with that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your children's story?
Well, Uncle Bill's Farm is about my youngest brother Bill. He and his wife have a farm, and they raise various animals, and they all do such crazy things. My sister-in-law says it's the water, like a duck taking care of baby kittens, and a peacock who would fly, you know. When my brother would get in the truck to go, the peacock would fly on the back of the truck and wouldn't get off. And he had a pig and a dog that were best friends. And so anyway, Uncle Bill's Farm was written with my oldest granddaughter, who was in fifth grade at the time, and she's now a freshman in high school. And so we sat down and wrote it. And then my niece, who was 17 at the time, did the illustration. So it was really a big family affair. And then, my oldest granddaughter has two siblings, and when Evan was in third grade, he announced that he was ready to help me write the next book. And that one is The Adventures of Casey and Peanut, and that's the dog and the pig and all the trouble they get into. And the pig kept getting out. My brother couldn't figure out how it was getting out, and they would tear down my sister-in-law's clothes from the clothesline and tear up. I mean, they were just naughty. And so The Adventures of Peanut and Casey are about the dog and the pig. So, and again, my niece, so then Evan and his sister, who was in fifth grade at the time, helped me write it. And then the same niece did the illustrations for that one also. So we had a continuity with the artwork. Mm-hmm.
A very good job.
Yeah, for someone so young, and she had never taken any classes or anything. And, you know, somebody says it kind of has an Americana feel to it. And, you know, she just, all my grandchildren are in the book in a couple of pictures. And it's like, I can look at it and say, well, that one's Allie, that one's Emmy, that one's, you know, which ones are which. And they're all sitting on the ground kind of in a half circle holding out their hands with chicken feet in it. And if they sat still long enough, the chickens would come up and eat out of their hands. And so they're all in the book. So, and then my oldest granddaughter again and I have an idea for another children's book. So and then the other one, the third one was not written with them. So but yeah, it was fun to have them help me. And then one of my books, The Trail to Love, my oldest granddaughters actually helped. I got invited by one of my publishers to be part of this Soulmate Tree Collective, and it's this old ancient tree that would bring soulmates together. And they invited 12 of their authors, and we could write any genre we wanted to. And I had never written a historical, And so I was telling the girls about it because I was really excited. It must have been during, must have been off for school that day or something. And I said, well, I'm thinking of doing a Western. And immediately my granddaughter, oldest one who was in sixth grade, goes, the Oregon Trail. They have to go to Independence City to Oregon City. And so Emmy, who was in second grade, and Allie, who was in fifth grade, or sixth grade, so it must have been fourth and sixth. Anyway, they came up with my character names. They started researching clothes, and Emmy, yeah, who's in third grade, you know, she's on the computer, and I'm like, well, what are you looking up? She says, I'm looking up their clothes. And so she came up with, you know, I told them the year, 1858, and so she was coming up with all these fancy ball gowns, and it was like, oh, she has no idea what the Oregon Trail. So I explained to her that they walked, they were dirty and dusty, and she goes, oh, so these are too fancy. I'm like, yeah. So, and I, they had all their notes, handwritten notes, you know, for their research. So I have all their handwritten notes, and I dedicated the book to them, but they couldn't read it because there's a couple of love scenes in it. Although Allie, who's a freshman, insists that she's old enough to read it. And I said, you may be old enough to read it, but I'm not old enough to know that you are old enough to read it. So that was kind of, and she actually wrote a couple of paragraphs in the book too. So, yeah, that was fun because they just got into it like, you know, gangbusters. And
one of the pictures I think of that you put on Facebook was when the grandkids were actually helping you and they were signing books. And that had to be a thrill for them to be able to sit down and sign their name to a book. That, I mean, that the picture was so cute.
Well, that's funny because, you know, people say that, you know, they don't teach cursive in school anymore. And it's like, well, yes, they do. Maybe not all schools. And all of them, you know, Allie in Uncle Bill's Farm signed her name in cursive. And Emmy and Evan signed their names. And Evan was just learning to do cursive. And so he was, you know, kind of like with the tongue stuck out between his teeth. And you know, some of them, it looks like E-V-E-N instead of A-N. But, you know, he did it. And then we got all done. And he goes, I didn't put my last name on. I said, well, your last name's on the cover, so they'll know. So, yeah, he was all excited. Let's have a book signing party. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, we sat down and just passed the book down. And so that was a lot of good memories on that one. So, and he has told me he's ready to write the next Uncle Bill's Farm book. And it's like, well, the animals can only do so many things. So I'm not sure what he has in mind. But, you know, if he comes up with something, I'll say, okay, let's go for it. So, yeah, it's been kind of fun. And, you know, and Evan has actually said that one of his favorite classes in school is writing. It's English when they write stories, and he goes, and that's because of you. So I'm like, oh, thank you. So makes me feel good. So
yeah, that's got to be great, just great memories for them, and then also just a great learning experience and having that opportunity to, you know, learn in a real world environment like that, and then they can take that back to school and be like, hey, you know what, I already know this.
Yeah. Well, and there were times, you know, like, you know, I can't remember which book it was, and I couldn't come up with the word. And one of them just popped up and said the word. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. You know, so, yeah, get some thinking. And I know one time my son-in-law came home, and it was around Christmas time, and it was dead silent in the house. And he kind of stood there and looked, and we're all sitting there with, you know, notebooks, and he says, what are you doing? And one of them goes, shh, I'm writing. So we were all writing stories about something, you know, and it was interesting at the, you know, at their each age level, what they came up with. And he just kind of shook his head and went, wow. So, and my oldest, go ahead.
On the flip side, you write a different kind of story under your pen name. You want to tell us about those books?
Yeah, I write erotic romance under my pen name, Anita Kittisu. And I'm not sure why I write what I write under her name. I write menage, not my lifestyle, never has been, never will be. But for some reason, whenever I start a story under her name, even if I don't intend it to be a menage, that's what it turns out to be. And I have no idea why. And I don't know if you call it the surprise series. I think I've got four books under Anita's name?
Surprise, Surprise is the newest, right?
Yeah, that just came out in February. So,
Surprise Me Again. That's, I guess, in the Surprise series. And then you had another one more under Anita, South Sea Seductions. That was under Anita also, I believe.
Just realized how many S's I have in my titles under her name. Surprise, Surprise, South Sea Seduction. And in Surprise, Surprise, there's identical twins who, unknown to each other, have gone out with the same woman. And unknown to her, she has been with both brothers. And so when she finds out, then, you know, things kind of fall apart. And she's got a stalker. So I had fun writing the byplay between the brothers, you know, and somebody said that, yeah, that's how brothers would talk to each other. So maybe that's because I have brothers, but, I had fun with that one. So actually I have fun with all of them when I think about it.
Those stories they're standalone though. You can read them separately.
Yes. Yes. Cause in the first two, Surprise Me and Surprise Me Again, it's the boys' parents, and the boys are in the story, but you know they're only like 18, and now in Surprise Surprise, they're in their late 20s, so there's like 10 years difference or something like that. So they're completely standalone, and you know, the same with my other books, the one about the four siblings, and there's standalones, but you learn about the other characters. And then I'm part of the Chandler County, and I have two books in that, Missing My Heart and Missing Innocence. And they're not a series or standalones, but some of the same characters show up. So, and I will be writing at least two more in that one also at some point in time. So there's only so many hours in the day. So.
Yeah, you're not running for the, I think they have a Christmas box set coming out. You are not going to have a story in that box set, correct?
I didn't know anything about it, so I guess not. So, I mean, I do have a character that I want to write, you know.
I think that is just for the way that Chandler County was broken up. You have your sweet authors and you have your sassy stories, I guess. And I think the Christmas anthology is just for the sweet stories.
Oh, okay.
Sweet, cleaner, wholesome. I don't know really how to describe it, but I'm just saying sweet. And are you still thinking about what was your working title? Missing the Music?
Missing Santa. The one in between is Missing the Music. And then I was going to try to get Missing Santa done for this last year, but I ended up having a little issues with my knee and ended up having surgery. And I got to the point, it's like, this isn't going to get done. And I want to put out a good product, so I don't want to rush it. So I think the next two that I'm going to work on is Missing the Music, which I have to do before Missing Santa, just because of the way the characters fall. So, I'm hoping they're on my schedule to do this year. So, and then on the cover of each one of these books, the bottom part of the book are my photos. But yeah, those will be my next projects. So, and then the one, Missing Innocence, I actually, the character is based on one of my friends from high school who had just a portion of her arm and like two fingers. And this girl was just amazing. She could play piano. Nothing stopped her. And so this character in Missing Innocence is based on her. So yeah, she's got some issues to work through. And I always try to put mystery in my books. I can't seem to write a book without mystery in them. So I don't think I have one without mystery. Yeah, I think there's mystery in every one of my books.
I've read pretty much all your books, including your two standalone, because there was Never With a Rich Man. Well, I mean, they're all standalones, but Never With a Rich Man, Rotting for Love, and they both had mystery in them also. So, yeah, I think most all your books do have some mystery in there.
Yeah.
And you call them romantic mysteries rather than romantic suspense. And
yeah, you know, that's such a thin line. You know, is it suspense or is it mystery? Is it, you know, I think some of them I would consider more mystery and some more suspense. I think Love with a Side of Crazy is more suspenseful than, you know, say A Photograph of Love, which that was the one that I knew I was on the last chapter and I didn't know who the bad guys were. So I call a friend of mine who reads all my stuff and, you know, edits and stuff, and she goes like, okay, calm down. Let's go through your clues. And I had enough clues in there, and as I'm, you know, going through, it's like, okay, I got it. And she says, well, if you don't know who the bad guys are, your readers aren't going to know who they are either until the end of the book. So, but that was a strange feeling going, I don't know. So that was kind of interesting. So, you know, and sometimes it's kind of, you know, figuring out, you know, clues and then, you know, so that your reader can't figure it out. And, you know, sometimes that can be kind of tricky. But at least
your writing retreats, then, isn't that will help you kind of bounce ideas off of your author friends?
Yes, this one that we had this weekend, it was with a different group of people, and it was more like, you know, time for writing. And we did do some stuff with editing, you know, different ways to edit and stuff. We did watch some YouTube videos, and you know, every once in a while somebody pop up and say, you know, does anybody know, you know, this. The group that I'm going with this weekend, it's my writers group, and we've done this for a couple of years now, and we have a set, you know, schedule. We have time for brainstorming. We have time for questions or, you know, whatever. In fact, the title for Love with a Side of Crazy came from a brainstorming session at our retreat, because I'm not really good at titles, and so I had explained the book, and one of the gals just instantly popped up with the title. I'm like, okay, that's it. So I gave her credit in the book for coming up with the title. So, but we also have time for, you know, for fun and maybe a few glasses of wine here and there. And, you know, but it's just a really good way to get together with other writers, you know, because we get each other. We understand, you know, the process and how it's like, oh, this last time we kept coming up with words that, you know, are hard to spell, like vacuum, you know, or hard to remember how to spell different, you know, all of a sudden somebody pop up and go, okay, here's another one, vacuum, or here's, you know, or here's a word that I always have trouble, you know, spelling, and that was kind of fun. So we started a list, and I think it was last week I was working on The Balcony Girl, and I wanted to use the word accoutrement. I can't pronounce it right, but and I typed it right the first time. I'm like, there's no red squiggly line. I was like, oh my gosh. But can I spell or type definitely right? That is one word that just I, you know, just change it to certainly.
Or Wednesday.
Yeah, that one came up, and I said, I always remember it's like Wednesday, you know. So
sounds like you have a lot coming up, and there's a lot for readers to be looking forward to. Where can the readers find you?
All my books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and iTunes or something, I can't remember. They're also, they can get them in the library. My website is Tina, or www-tina.com. www.tina-susetic.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I don't even know where else because, oh, I have a website. Yeah, my website, which I don't blog like I should. Sorry, Tessa. I always say I'm going to do it. It's like, so yeah, there's lots of places you can find me. So authors, your Book Garden Radio, which is the name of my radio show. If you go onto Facebook and you know click on there, then you can click on my various shows that I've done in the past year. It's been a year now that I've been doing that, which I really really enjoy. It's gotten me to read authors and in genres that I probably wouldn't have, and and then to talk about the writing on the phone and on the radio. It's been a lot of fun. I'm so glad I was asked to do this. So my first show, not so much, but thank you, Tessa, for getting me through that one. So,
you were nervous.
Pardon?
I said you were a little nervous.
Yeah, just a little, and thankfully it was two of my editors that were my guests, and they kind of took over the show, and I really thought that I was going to get sick when I got done because I was just a nervous wreck, and now I love it. I have so much fun, and I try to have fun on the show, and so yeah, I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that. So hope to do it for quite a while. So,
well, we're really glad and thankful that you were willing to take the time to join us on our show today. So thank you so much, and we wish you well with all the things that you're working on in the future.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on.
Is that it, Tessa?
Yep. Thank you for being with us, Tina, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thank you for... Romancing the Reader, host Tessa and Riley, welcome author Tina Susetic. Tina is an award-winning and multi-published author in both fiction and nonfiction, including military, history, children's, and romance. She also writes erotic romance under the pen name Anita Kadisu. And she also hosts her own blog, The Book Garden, on Authors on the Air Global Radio Network.